Hey loyal listeners, it's Luke from the Fantasy Faction podcast. A little bit of a different one today. Usually Ant and I are chit-chatting back and forth with each other, so there'll be just a little cheeky change in the format today. We're going to have Q&A from both ChatGMT, quote-unquote, and some members of our Fantasy Faction community as well. And of course, we're going to be bringing you our SummerSlam predictions. That's, of course, the 2024 SummerSlam predictions, which has the main event of Solo Sikoa and Cody Rhodes. Okay, here we go. Okay, so here we are again with a rare these days Fantasy Faction podcast. We've been developing and working on the game a little bit more. We've been doing a podcast a little less. You know, maybe we'll keep it rare, maybe, you know, the big four pay-per-views each year, or maybe we might do a little bit more podcasts going forward, who knows. But right now we are deep into the weeds and working on the ins and outs of developing the Fantasy Faction game, which, if you don't know, is a fantasy pro wrestling league. You've of course heard of fantasy football, fantasy baseball and what have you, but we are developing a fantasy pro wrestling league. And playing the game, we have the honor of inviting a lot of talented content creators and wrestlers and people generally within the wrestling space to play and have some friendly competition, and also start some community, which is the main goal of our game, really, is the community. We've obviously seen the good sides of the pro wrestling community and want to encourage that more and more and more. And so far, it's been a pleasure to have everyone kind of banter with each other and collaborate and work together and to create new stuff. And so we recognize that the you know, the life that this game could breathe going forward, and we just want to thank you all for being just a huge part of that and actually being the ones keeping it going and continuing to play. So thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, so we'll crack on with some Q&A now, and this first one is from Nikolai from the Wrestlers and the Nerds podcast. That is based in Denmark. So Nikolai is a Danish national, and we got in touch through the Fantasy Faction game, actually, when he was first starting. So a couple of years ago, we reached out to him, seeing if he wanted to join the game, join the community. And we actually ended up meeting in Los Angeles when WrestleMania was there, and we shared a really good time together. And I hope to again, maybe in Vegas, maybe in London one day. But anyway, Nikolai, your question was, what are your top three SummerSlam matches? So my top three SummerSlam matches, one that immediately stuck out when I read the question was Shawn Michaels and Triple H from 2002, when Shawn Michaels had that comeback, and they had I don't know if it was an unsanctioned match or a no DQ match or something like that, but Michaels came out in his jeans and his tank top, and that was kind of cool because his costume, his attire, it took a while to come back. He didn't want to put those tights on again, and he wasn't sure if he could still go or be that Shawn Michaels again. And that match was sort of the rebirth or awakening of that new Shawn Michaels that we saw in that 2002 era. And then, of course, a couple of months later, he would win the world title. So that match was stellar for me, and that really got the crowd going. Obviously, Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler on commentary were just in stellar form as ever. Okay, so one match that I don't think will be on many people's lists, which it wasn't a five-star match of any kind, but just for me, the shock factor of it all and just kind of the magnitude of what this match meant. And it was the John Cena-Brock Lesnar match from 2014 when John Cena got destroyed. I was watching that at a watch party, and the whole room was aghast. We were just in shock. But I loved the hugeness of Brock Lesnar beating John Cena in such a convincing fashion. And I think in hindsight it was good creative because that year Lesnar broke the streak, so you're kind of left with, well, where do we go from here? And it's there's not much bigger plateau than destroying John Cena at a major pay-per-view for the championship, by the way. So yeah, that match is in my top three. And then another one is well, it's got to be TLC 1 from 2000. Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian. Earlier that year, they did a triangle ladder match, which was kind of the soft open for TLC 1. And then obviously what would follow afterwards was a whole brand of tables, ladders and chairs for the company. So TLC 1 for so many reasons. Obviously, a five-star smash, just spots galore. The uniqueness of the match—it was a new match. When there's a new gimmick or a new title or a new match happening, you only get one introduction, right? So that TLC match really, really set things off. So that's one of my favorite matches because of the hugeness, the significance of that going forward, the talent in the ring. Put on a spectacle. It had everything, didn't it? The build up to the match, everyone had their weapon of specialty going into that match, so there was all that. And then tag team championships really put tag team titles back on the map, really put emphasis on tag team championships, which is always a good thing. And yeah, so that rounds off my top three. Honorable mentions, though. Honorable mentions. I want to mention there's Finn Balor and Seth Rollins for that first ever Universal title. I know that title itself gets a lot of flack, but in terms of introducing the championship, that was the best match to have. Rollins and Balor. It was kind of those NXT Ring of Honor, really elite, really like super indie guys battling it out in a WWE ring. For this belt, and who knows what the landscape would have looked like and how m more well received the Universal belt would have been if Finn Balor didn't get injured and was able to have just a wicked run and having all these great matches. So it kind of stalled, but yeah, I want to honorably mention that match there, and also the four-way Universal title match, that big Smash Mouth one that had Joe, Reigns, Strowman, and Lesnar. I just think that was a crazy epic big smash mouth kind of match, just one of those meaty matches. Do you know what I mean? I got a question here from Mouthing Off with Mike. If you haven't checked Mouthing Off with Mike, why haven't you? Please do go to YouTube and check out his content. Also go to Instagram at Mouthing Off with Mike and check out all this great stuff there. We're really happy to have him in the league. Sounds like he's having fun with it. So Mike asks, which SummerSlam is your all-time favorite? All-time favorite. That's a tough one because 2001 was great, but I'm just gonna edge it to the year 2000. So obviously, as we've just mentioned with the TLC 1, that happened in 2000. So, that has to count towards being one of the greatest SummerSlams of all time. Just how big that match was. So the main event was just a stacked triple threat match, and I really like triple threat matches. So it was The Rock, Triple H, and Kurt Angle. So you had that. You had Kane and Undertaker continuing their rivalry. And who could forget the Stink Face match that happened at the SummerSlam 2000 pay-per-view, which was criminally given the least amount of minutes on the card. So if you want to look that up, I'll leave it at that. But look that up, the Stink Face match from SummerSlam 2000. Just great television. Just absolutely top-notch pro wrestling. So yep, SummerSlam 2000 for me. Okay, I've got some questions from quote unquote ChatGMT. Heavy on the quotations there. Okay, so ChatGPT, ChatGMT, whatever your name is. Thanks for playing Fantasy Faction, by the way. Have you been more impressed with Cody or Damian Priest's world title reign so far? I'm immediately going to say Damian Priest. So the expectations for Damian, to succeed in this world title reign, the bar was set low for him. And he's worked that into his character and his interviews too, how people have been calling him a transitional champion, and he's been far from it. I think, when he won Money in the Bank, it was very exciting then because people started to think the idea of Priest having a world title was exciting. And then I don't know if the briefcase, if he held on to it too long, or his development got convoluted with the Judgment Day stories. So people kind of went a little bit more tepid on it. I was very excited how he won the title. Still, I'm all for Damian Priest to be world champion. I was very, very. See, I'm very conflicted because I was very excited about Gunther going into SummerSlam, but I'll leave it at that. We'll wait for the SummerSlam predictions. But Damian Priest has been very impressive, and definitely made his reign a little bit more about the championship than Cody has. It really is still Cody versus Bloodline. And the WWE Championship is involved, but the Damian Priest story just continues, and perhaps it was not that you wish injury on anyone, but perhaps it was fortuitous that Rhea Ripley got injured, so Damian Priest could take on that lead role in Judgment Day, thus getting more of the spotlight. So Damian Priest for that one. What WWE wrestlers would you like to see jump to AEW and vice versa? Ooh, it's a good one, that. WWE and vice versa. I'd like to see Sammy Guevara go to NXT and Tay Mello as well. I think they could be a good power couple down there on that brand. So Sammy Guevara's got all that talent in the world. I don't know if AEW's been the best place for him to flourish, but still. Very young, still very, very young. So he's still got legs in him for years yet. So I think he'd be good in NXT. WWE jumping over to AEW. I'm gonna go in with an outside one here because it seems like this guy is probably set in WWE for a long time, if not forever at this point. But I don't know, maybe 10 years from now, Gunther. Going back to Gunther transforming back into Walter and going to AEW, and we kind of get a little bit more of the indie Walter back. I'm not necessarily saying he needs to put on all that weight, but just chop fests, and now he's so maybe he goes into AEW because he sees the clunkiness of AEW and how it's just kind of not well structured, and he's trying to bring back some decor. There. So he could still be the ring general, but it could be the I don't know, the ring king Gunther, sorry, the ring king Walter, maybe a development on his gimmick there. That might be pretty cool to see. What are some WWE versus AEW matches you would love to see? If you could get it together and do a WWE versus AEW pay-per-view, I would like to see Seth Rollins versus Adam Cole. I would like to see Roman Reigns versus Jon Moxley. I'd like to see Gunther versus Lance Archer. Charlotte Flair versus Mercedes Moné. Becky Lynch versus DMD. Bayley versus Willow. Or Bayley versus Athena. Bayley versus Athena would be a good one. Rhea Ripley could have some great matches. So you got to get, well, it's Rhea Ripley. You got to get her on the card. So Rhea Ripley versus like a Nyla Rose. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill tag in against, Willow and Statlander. That'd be a pretty good one. The Bucks. Oh, the Bucks. Who would the Bucks face? Would it be Bucks versus Usos? FTR versus Usos? Screw it. You could have a four-way ladder match there with tag teams. So let's take FTR, and let's take the Bucks, And then from WWE, we'll take the Usos and we'll take the New Day, Kofi and Woods. If Big E's fitting well, then you could have the New Day versus the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn. That'd be an epic scissor. House of Black versus the Wyatt Six. MJF. Now, who would MJF go against? So if MJF's the ultimate shit heel, oh, it's got to be Cody, isn't it? Yeah, the match is, that's the main event. That's WWE title versus AEW title. If you could book a dream card, that's the double title match main event. Cody Rhodes versus MJF. But they have to follow Roman versus Mox, who would also arguably be a main event spot. But yeah. Okay, got a question here from Nick from the Wrestling for Life Network, the very impressive and ever-growing Wrestling for Life Network. The funny thing is about the Wrestling for Life Network, which you can find on YouTube, and they're doing watch-alongs in just about every show every night of the week, is so they've been in the Fantasy League since the very, very start. And so we've had the pleasure to see them grow into what they are now. And it's crazy because to me, however big they or however much the Wrestling for Life Network grows, you always still get that feeling of oh, there's even more to this yet. Like I really think that that network and that channel is going to grow even more and more and more. So equally impressive as of what they've built now, but there just feels like there's so much more to come there. So thank you, lads, for the question. Here it is. So, is Cody versus Solo main eventing because of a Roman Reigns return? Reason being Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk and Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan are the more compelling matches. Great point. Very good point. Both those latter matches that you mentioned there, Punk Rollins and Ripley Morgan, definitely are the better stories and have been the more compelling storylines and have had better build. The rivalry seems just a little bit more heated, a little bit more personal. And with the Cody Rhodes, it's a lot of it, it's continuation, isn't it? It's Cody versus Bloodline. So, and also the fact that Solo Sikoa is in the main event when he's not that, top tier main event caliber guy just yet, even though he's been, posing himself as the tribal chief and all. So, yes, I think so. I think it's very likely that we're going to get some kind of big bloodline development either during that match or afterwards. Roman Reigns is obviously the favorite to come back. At least that's what everyone's talking about online. It's an anticipated return. Maybe WWE will use that and swerve us. The Rock, the final boss, is just. I believe wrapped up filming on his latest movie, so there could be something there. Yeah, but definitely agree with you, though, Nick, that I think the positioning of Cody Rhodes and Solo Sikoa is not just because it's the WWE Championship. I think it's because we're going to get a big, wacky, crazy finish. Raymond from Respect the Craft podcast. If you haven't checked out Raymond's podcast, Respect the Craft, on YouTube and also Apple and Spotify. So Raymond just hammers out episode after episode of episode it, with a who's who array of talent. So some you will have heard from WWE, AEW, others from the indie scene too. So please check out Respect the Craft podcast. He's part of the Knucklehead Network. And it's just a very, very impressive pod he's got going there. And Raymond, glad you're feeling better after earlier this year. So, and Raymond, I'm very glad you're in good health, my friend. So, right, your question. This being the end of this term of storytelling, who do you guys see walking into this quarter as the next big face or heel? So I assume the, I guess the summer era is over now, and well, almost over, and we're looking forward to the Survivor Series War Games, end of the year sort of quarter. So, off the top of my head, I think Rhea Ripley is delicately poised now to be the monster babyface of the women's division. Yeah, going forward, I think after SummerSlam. You know, it's hard to boo Rhea Ripley anymore, isn't it? She's not, and she can't, she doesn't play that heel. Well, maybe she does play that heel character on TV, but the fans wanna cheer Rhea Ripley even more and more and more now. So I think now's the time to sort of capitalize on that and go on a huge babyface run. In terms of big heel, oh, that's a tough one. Gotta give me a second on that one. MJF's recent heel turn, obviously, you got to think he'll get more and more heelish there. But you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here, and say Ludwig Kaiser. I think Ludwig Kaiser is poised, to do some big things in the next 12 months. I think we'll see him in and around some mid-card title contention and perhaps break away from Gunther a little bit. I know he's already a heel, but I think we'll see even more from Kaiser in the next 12 months. Okay, SummerSlam predictions. I'm not going to go into some massive detail. I'm not going to keep you and bore you for forever and ever. The matches at SummerSlam. Great. First of all, great pick having Miz as a host. I was there at WrestleMania in Los Angeles, and I actually were in Los Angeles for WrestleMania when Miz hosted that. And he's great MC. He's a legend. He has the capacity to keep the crowd going, and you know, he may have a segment in the middle where he ends up wrestling or gets physical with someone. So that'd be good. Okay, Logan Paul, LA Knight. I think this, if they want to satisfy the fans the most, and if they want to make up minutes for the rest of the SummerSlam card, while also giving this match some emphasis and significance and a memory, I think you put LA Knight over and you have him squash Logan Paul and beat him up for like 2 or 3 minutes straight, even 5 minutes, and just give the crowd just a very, very satisfying feeling of the heel getting his comeuppance once and for all, because he's not defended the belt. Oh, he's hardly defended the belt during his reign. So, you know, when it's go time now, wouldn't it just be fantastic to see LA Knight squash Paul and take the title? Let us know what you think. Oh, Bron Breakker, Sami Zayn. I think, again, I'd like to see this one get more minutes. You know, it's good for Bron Breakker to be in there with a guy like Sami Zayn and you know, continue to learn. Continue to develop with veterans of the game. It'll be another great one. It'll be pretty evenly contested, I'm sure, but I don't think Sami Zayn will come out beating Bron Breakker twice. You know, it's a tempting story development to have Bron Breakker lose again and then go even more crazy. But I think Bron Breakker, you know, this could be his next big thing moment. I think he takes the belt here. Okay. Nia Jax versus Bayley with Tiffany Stratton lurking in the background with a Money in the Bank briefcase. I'm going to say Nia here. I think at least one King or Queen of the Ring has to go over, and I think Nia Jax is the most likely. Bayley's had a good run. It's been great seeing Bayley with the title again. I just think it's time for Nia to give it a go for a bit. Tiffany Stratton, ooh, may tease it, but would like to see her hold it for longer and get involved in and around the title scene just a little while longer before taking that extra leap. And it's nice to have a Money in the Money in the Bank briefcase around a bit longer. Which, by the way, if you play Fantasy Faction, you can draft Tiffany Stratton. If she cashes in and wins, then that's 100 bonus points. If she loses, then it's minus 100 points, and the person retaining the title gets those bonus points. So just be aware of that. Okay. CM Punk, Drew McIntyre with Seth Rollins as the guest referee. I think, oh, it's really hard. Who goes over here? I mean, Rollins seems to hate Punk more. So you would think he'd be favoring Drew and be happy to put Drew over more. However, you know, a good story coming out of this and you know, leading to a triple threat is Rollins could begrudgingly count Punk to victory here. So I'm going to guess, I'm going to go CM Punk on that one. That'll be my official prediction. CM Punk. Damian Priest and Gunther. If you'd have asked me after the King of the Ring, I'd have said Gunther was a shoo-in to take the belt at SummerSlam and then move forward in a dominant reign, similar to his IC title reign. But Damian Priest has made such a good job the last few months as champion. He's definitely not the transitional champion that was spoke about. If you'll just rewind to the Q&A question earlier, I'll go into a lot more detail about Damian Priest and my thoughts on his reign so far, which has been great. So I can't believe I'm saying this, but I can't look past Damian Priest for the win. So yeah, and I actually think Ludwig Kaiser could turn on Gunther here and go their separate ways there, and then that would give a plausible out to Gunther losing. Okay, what have we got left? Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan with Dominic Mysterio. With all that angle going in the background, I think Liv Morgan retains here. I think Liv Morgan needs to keep the title a bit longer. Mammy doesn't need to get it back just yet. And with Rhea Ripley poised for a big babyface run, it'll be very satisfying to see her chase the title. And I think Dominic Mysterio turns on Rhea Ripley here too, because with Ripley set to be that big baby face, you can't be going around cheering Dominic Mysterio. I think, you know, he's such a natural heel. We want to boo him, we want to hate him. So I think it's all a swerve, and Dominic, you know, ends up siding with Liv, and then that's the new you know, hated couple going forward. Cody Rhodes, Solo Sikoa. Cody Rhodes to go over. I think this will be another, you know, similar to WrestleMania, but like a dusty classic finish. I think we'll get like Kevin Owens and Randy Orton returning on this one. Whether, you know, whether interference from an outside source that we've not thought of plays a role, I don't know. I think I think the finish of the match will be a huge scramble, and then Cody Rhodes will come out on top with the win. And then afterwards, after is the question as to whether Roman Reigns returns. And if he does he confront Solo? Is it a plan all along? Has he been working with this new version of Bloodline? Is The Rock going to come back? He's just finished filming. Is this The Rock's Bloodline that's coming now? Is there tension? Who knows? Lots and lots of intriguing sort of scenarios that are on the peripheries. And so we'll find out. But I think it's pretty dead on that some kind of huge bloodline development will come out of this that we're not expecting. And my money is on Roman Reigns to come back. I think we'll finally get our tribal chief back after months of waiting. Feels like forever. But yeah, that's your SummerSlam predictions.
Hi there, this is Nikolai speaking on behalf of the only Danish podcast about pro wrestling, Wrestlers and Nerds podcast. So if you want to hear great content or watch great content, you can find us on Spotify, Podimo, Apple Podcasts, and of course, YouTube. But now I must do a little bit of a shout out to all the great Danish wrestling promotions out there. If you're a wrestling fan in Denmark or around the globe, you have to set your sights on the Danish wrestling scene, but because it's burning hot at the moment. You have to go and watch Nordic Elite Wrestling, Body Slam, or Danish Pro Wrestling, because those three promotions are setting the scenes and new standard for great pro wrestling in Denmark. But enough about the little shout out. I have been asked to deliver some amazing predictions for you guys about the upcoming event tomorrow evening, SummerSlam in Cleveland. So let's dive into it. The first match that I would like to dive into is the match between Sami Zayn and Braun Breaker. We have, this is the second one between those two. The first one's the ultimate underdog, Sami Zayn, delivered a hell of a kick to Braun Breaker, and then he pinned him. But I think this time around, we will see a title change. Even though I'm a little bit unsure if Braun Breaker is ready to put on the belt and be a champion to elevate this championship. But I think that WWE have booked themselves into a corner, so they have to put the belt on Braun Breaker now, or else he will be put back all the way back in the line for a championship opportunity in the near future. So I think this one goes out to Braun Breaker without any doubt. The second match that I would like to talk about is actually one of my dark horses for this card is Logan Paul versus the megastar LA Knight. And I think everyone is expecting LA Knight to take this opportunity and put the belt on him. But are WWE ready to put the belt on LA Knight? Do they still believe that the hype is hot? And could LA Knight elevate the belt to another level? I think there's some factors you have to take into consideration regarding this match, because very soon Logan Paul has to go on paternity leave because his lovely wife, Nina, from Denmark, so who can blame him, will have a child, and probably he will have to use a lot of time there. So is this the factor that will put the belt on LA Knight, or will they still go with the YouTube megastar Logan Paul and put and so he could retain? I think here, let's be honest. There's a lot of factors going into consideration. There's a lot of back and forward, but my heart says that Logan Paul will retain. He's a bigger star than LA Knight, even though if you ask a wrestling fan, he is LA Knight. It's much bigger. He is the megastar. But if you look at the younger generation that Logan Paul attracts to wrestling, I think that factor will be the deciding one. And even though Logan Paul is a part-time champion, he will retain this belt in his hometown of Cleveland. And then we have another match going forward. We have this match between Damian Priest and Gunther. The ring general will chop the hell out of Damian Priest and be the new champion going forward. I think everything points to that Gunther is ready to take the next step. He's been a little bit sidelined after losing the belt to Sami Zayn. So I think it's now time to test Gunther. Is he a main event kind of guy? Could he elevate this belt as he did with the other belt, the Intercontinental Championship belt as well. So my predictions here are clear. It's Gunther. Gunther, a little bit of mumbling there. Gunther is going to be the next world heavyweight champion. But one thing that you could say could point a little bit towards Damian Priest. Damian Priest will retain here, and then at Bash at Berlin, because it's more or less Gunther will be the hometown hero, he could take the belt there, but I still say put the belt on Gunther here and let him defend the belt in Berlin and retain there. So let's go with Gunther, no doubt about that. Then we have another match. We have the what one could call Mami versus Papi, or Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan, with the lover boy of pro wrestling at the moment, the hottest, the sexiest guy in pro wrestling, Dominic Mysterio. He's oozing of sex appeal. So you have this kind of strange love triangle in this match. Dominic Mysterio says he doesn't want anything to do with Liv Morgan. Do we believe that? No, I don't think so. And he says he's all in on Rhea Ripley now. So his heart is with Rhea Ripley. And is that right? Is his heart with Rhea Ripley? Or do we see a turn of events and Dominic Mysterio costing Mami this opportunity so Liv Morgan will retrain? Oh, it will retrain, will retain. So I think that Dominic will be a deciding factor in this match. And I think Liv Morgan will retrain. And I hope that Dominic turns on Mami because he has fallen secretly in love with Liv Morgan, and because he's a little bit blinded by all the attention that Liv Morgan has given him and all the nice things that she has done and so on. So, and maybe this could also be used as the crackling of the dissolving of the Judgment Day, but I think it's more or less time for that. So I hope that we will see that going forward. So we have some other matches as well. And if I just look at the card, because I'm an old man that has got to have a little bit of help looking at the SummerSlam card. So let's dive into SummerSlam here. We see we have, let's look at this one here. We have matches. Oh, yes. We are going to the other women's match. Bayley versus the Queen, Nia Jax. Nia Jax will be very interesting because I think she's been on a great developing her character, be more precise, be more menacing, be more into the character of Nia Jax being this unstoppable force that they have tried to talk her into being, but she didn't really be that. And then there's this luring factor in the background. Tiffany Stratton is walking around with this amazing white suitcase with a pink ribbon on. I love it. Could she cash in this match after the match? So could this be a factor in who will win this match? Could Bayley retain and then after a beatdown from Nia Jax and then Tiffany Stratton will cash in? Because we've seen that a lot of times, that maybe the champion retains, Nia Jax goes on a rampage, smashing, chopping down, beating down Bayley, because getting all her frustrations out, Tiffany Stratton glowing in the background, and then cash in from Tiffany, and we have this 1, 2, 3, and the new champion. Well, I'm going with the cash in. I'm going with Bayley retaining, and Tiffany Stratton will cash in. Now we have the two last matches. We have Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa and Seth Rollins, a special guest referee in the very, very hot feud between CM Punk and the Scottish psychopath Drew McIntyre. And I think the match order could be a factor in saying if Roman Reigns will return, because there's a lot of talk going around that Roman Reigns will return here at SummerSlam, because last year and the year before that, we have seen some returns in SummerSlam. So if Solo Sikoa and Cody Rhodes, the last match, I think we will see a return from Roman there. But if they're not, I don't think we will see a Roman return. Okay, I will go with my heart here, and I hope Roman will return. So I'm taking Solo and Cody as the last match of my prediction and going into the Scottish Psychopath versus CM Punk. And I could go straight out of the gates and going with Drew McIntyre, because I think he needs this win. CM Punk can easily take the L here, the loss here, and going forward, because I don't think this feud is far from over. And if you're going to have a special guest referee as Seth Rollins, I think he will have a very decisive factor in how the match will progress and how the match will turn out in the end. So I hope that you could build up a feud between Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, and maybe a three-way for the belt at WrestleMania for some kind of belt. So there's a lot of potential here in this feud, but my heart is with a Scottish warrior or psychopath, as I just called him, Drew McIntyre. So my pick is Drew McIntyre. And then, because, as I just stated, Roman will return after this match, there's no doubt Cody will retain, or maybe it will be a double countdown. I can't really decide on that one just yet. I think, could we see a double countdown and then Roman returning to help Cody, or at first acknowledging Solo Sikoa as the new tribal chief? Only time will tell, but give me some great returns. Give me Roman Reigns. I want him, because people are shouting, we want Roman, and you have to give the people what they want. They want Roman Reigns. So Cody Rhodes retains, and after the match, one way or the other, maybe the new bloodline storms the ring with the newest member, Hikaleo. Only time will tell, but yeah, I'm going for Cody Rhodes. So, and remember, that was all from Wrestlers and Nerds podcast. And I'm Nikolaj Wachtmann, one of the hosts. And a huge shout out to my fantastic team behind the podcast, Kim Chaos Tenning, Tor, Jonas, Christian Colombo, and maybe we have some new signings coming in. We have some very exciting stuff going forward. And last but not least, huge shout out to the two fantastic guys between maybe the hottest, the sexiest, the best fantasy faction league out on the internet. Anthony and Luke, you guys rock and are amazing. So thank you, Luke and Anthony, for doing such an amazing piece of work with this fantasy fiction. that was all for now, and have a fantastic SummerSlam. I acknowledge you, Roman Reigns, as the only tribal chief. That's all for now. Bye.